Welcome back, everybody. We are back with Cal Banyan, the person who's brought us Seventh Path Self-Hypnosis, and this is the second video covering all kinds of questions about Seventh Path for both the practitioner and the teacher all around the world. And we're just going to, you know, really go through a lot of questions. If you haven't watched the first video for that, you know, go ahead and watch that now before you come to this video, because we did cover a lot of the basics in that video, and you really need to get that before listening to this, because we're going to be covering a lot of ground very quickly. And so for those of you who don't know who Cal Banyan is, he is the person who's brought us Seventh Path. He is the expert, the one and only expert on Seventh Path. And, you know, he's the one that I would go to with my questions, and we have the benefit of his time here today. So here he is, Cal Banyan.
Hello, Meredith, and teachers around the world, and especially Seven Path practitioners. I'm really happy to be here to answer your questions. Please go ahead, fire away.
Wonderful. And so one of the questions is, how long should I wait for the echo?
Well, when you do Seven Path, how do you know if you're doing it right? And really, there's only two steps. One is you say the recognition silently within yourself, and two, you wait for the echo. And the echo could be anything that comes from within you. And we describe them generally as thoughts, feelings, sensations, memories, and pictures. And so as soon as one of those things happens, now you say the recognition again. And so there really is no time period. If you set yourself 5 minutes to practice Seven Path and you say the first recognition one time, then you've got approximately 4 minutes and 50 seconds to go. And if you don't have a thought, feeling, sensation, memory, or picture by then you're done. And you're probably dead. Because the human mind, most people are not going to be able to have that kind of just nothingness after they say the recognition one time. So the answer really is you wait as long as you need to until either you get an echo or until your time is up.
Great. And so here's another question about echoes. Can anyone give me some ideas on how to stop the constant self-talk or separate the self-talk from the echoes?
Ah, you do not understand. That is the echo. Anything that happens after you say the recognition is the echo. So if you say the recognition to yourself and then you say something else to yourself, that would be the echo. And so you've succeeded. And you just simply say the recognition again. And then if you say something else to yourself, that's the echo. And you just keep going in that process, and you're doing it right.
What if all of my echoes are only negative?
Perfect. Doesn't matter. There's three kinds of echoes that you can have. You can have positive, and negative, and neutral. When you have positive echoes, the things that make you feel good or positive thoughts, feelings, sensations, memories, or pictures, then what happens is when you say the recognition before and after it, they combine and it empowers those kinds of echoes, those kinds of thoughts, feelings, sensations, memories, and pictures. If you have a negative, painful emotional thought or some kind of negative thought, then what happens is because you're bringing them together in time, the recognition and then the negative thought and then the recognition, which is always positive by definition, and then negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, what happens is through the preponderance of repetition, it begins to neutralize the negative. So if you have negative thoughts or positive thoughts, it's great. The only thing you have to worry about is saying the recognition, wait for the echo. And by the way, neutral thoughts, which are not positive or negative, just kind of your busy everyday mind chatter, then those also are important because you have those thoughts when you're not in hypnosis. And because of the time spent in the hypnosis process, the positive charge of the recognition becomes associated with your normal everyday thoughts. And your normal everyday thoughts work as a carrier signal to bring that positive vibration into your life every day without any effort on your part. That's it.
And so is the way that I know to move on to the next recognition, is it when my echoes have become positive?
No. You know to move on to your next recognition because you've had an echo. That's it. Am I understanding that question right, Merida?
No, I think what the reader or what the writer meant was, you know, if they're using 1 through 3, say they took a class and they were given 1 through 5, and then they're slowly integrating the recognitions, do they know that it's time to move from, say, recognition 1 to recognition and integrating recognition 2 into their practice? Do they know that by the echoes?
Okay, so basically, when you say move on, that person means to either learn a new recognition and to begin using it in their 7-path practice. Okay, now, whenever you've spent at least a week doing a recognition, as long as the doing of the recognition isn't too upsetting to you, in other words, interfering with your normal everyday life, if you've done a week's worth of work with the 7-path recognition where you're doing it morning, afternoon, and when you go to sleep at night, then you're ready to receive the next recognition. And as soon as you receive the recognition under those circumstances, you're ready to begin to integrate it into your practice.
Great. And so what if I have a thought and I'm still saying the recognition?
What can happen is you can have, especially when you get into the full forms and the ultimate forms, they're long enough in duration that you could have a thought while you're saying the recognition. And what sometimes I'll call that the thought kind of stepping on the recognition. And what we will do is we will ignore that thought, feeling, sensation, memory, or picture, because echoes are defined as thoughts, feelings, sensations, memory, pictures, things that come from within you that occur after the recognition. So if you have the thought, feeling, sensation, memory, or picture while you're saying the actual recognition, you just ignore it, complete the recognition, and then wait.
Great. And so how deep do you have to be in hypnosis for 7th path to work?
You have to be in profound, 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 profound hypnotic somnambulistic coma. 7-path does not require deep levels of hypnosis. Even the lightest level of hypnosis will speed up your work. The technique of doing 7-path tends to be hypnotic in and of itself. And so if you were not in hypnosis while you were practicing it, two things are likely to happen. One is it will still work, but not as powerfully as if you were in hypnosis. It would work on the order of affirmation, and still the emotional resonance property would still work. Also, because of the hypnotic quality of the actual 7-path practice of saying the recognition, wait for the echo, say the recognition, wait for the echo, that repetitive nature with focus tends to be inducing of hypnosis anyway. So the first rule is forget about what level of hypnosis you're in. It really doesn't matter. You could actually start off with no hypnosis at all, and over time you would drift into hypnosis. But the only way you could actually know what level of hypnosis you are in is through hypnotic depth testing, and you can't do that by yourself. So one of the good things about doing 7-path with 5-path is that your 5-path hypnotherapist can take you into that deep level of hypnosis and will have tested you for that deep level of hypnosis and let you spend some time in there. Now, having said all this stuff about it doesn't really matter what level of hypnosis you're in, it's still true that the deeper you are in hypnosis, the more quickly and more profound the results will come about. But with 7-path, we're really not in a hurry. We're undoing a whole life's worth of and getting rid of negative feelings and emotions and these kinds of things. And really, without worrying about depth, typically you're going to see huge life transformations occurring in a few weeks, sometimes even in the first week or two. So don't worry about depth testing and what level of hypnosis and all that kind of stuff.
Of course, you would, as you're working with, you know, doing 5-path or some other form of hypnosis, you would worry about the depth testing, but not when you're just teaching 7-path.
Right. When I was doing a group, when I'm doing like a group teaching them 7-path, I will do a group induction and I don't really worry about depth of hypnosis. If I'm now, sometimes I will teach 7-path to individuals. Now, in that case, I will do an induction, deepening, testing, convincing, all of that kind of stuff, and make sure they're in somnambulism while they're receiving the recognitions and practicing the recognitions in my office. However, There's no way to ensure that every time they do hypnosis after that, that they'll reach that level when they're doing it at home.
Yes. Another question. I am mainly focusing on the second and third recognitions, and now I hear that that's not right. Why?
Well, some people, they'll focus on particular recognitions because they experience the most emotions, or they feel like, well, or they believe that that's where they really need to do the work. You really shouldn't do that because when you focus on specific recognitions, you really go out of balance in the path. And when you, people tend to focus on particular recognitions because they're causing the most fireworks and the most upheaval, and it's really probably the most discomfort. And if every time you do seven path, all you experience is discomfort, the protective part of the mind will find ways to get you to stop. So you need those recognitions that just feel good, that are calm and relaxing, just as much as you need the ones that are kind of stirring things up to have balance and also to keep you going forward on the path. So the basic rule of seven path is you should spend about an equal amount of time on each recognition, and that gives you the balance of being able to work through those tough recognitions while still having the respite of the more comfortable recognitions as well. So really, don't do this. Don't add up the time. But if you did, by the time you got to the end of the week, if you had ended up added up all the time. Now, don't do that, but if you had, the numbers for each recognition that you have and that you're using would be approximately the same, and that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, and so where I find that my clients typically get off is in the session where they're falling asleep at night, and so oftentimes if they're one of those quick faller asleepers, they maybe will only get through, you know, recognition one. And then what I advise them to do, and you can confirm whether this is correct, is the next day as they practice, spend less time on one and more time on their other recognitions.
Exactly. And Meredith, any time along the line as we're going through these, you want to add something, please feel free to do that. Certainly your experiences are also valuable. You know, one of the things I want to just throw in here is seven path really doesn't heal anything. Now, all the time I get emails from practitioners and teachers talking about these different healings that occur, mental healings, physical healings, and emotional healings. But well, the way I like to think of that is hypnosis, not self-hypnosis, not hypnosis by someone else, hetero-hypnosis, doesn't really heal anything. And my philosophy is there's really only two sources of healing. One is your higher power, a God, however you like to perceive that, and your body's own ability to heal once stressors and negative energies have been removed from the body. So it's very common. I've heard of headaches, chronic headaches going away, joint pain going away, back pain going away, organs being able to work better, surgeries becoming unnecessary. Now, certainly, I am not a doctor. Don't take any medical advice from me. If you notice you're getting better when you have an illness, be it emotional or be it a physical illness, consult your physician. The doctor may want to change medication or change your treatment or stop a treatment or medication because your body is now healing because we've removed the anger or the fear or the guilt or whatever it is that has been stressing out your body. And psychologists have this concept of the diathesis stress hypothesis. And it's basically the idea that behind all chronic illnesses, be they physical or emotional, there is a stress factor, and it could be an internal stress, such as an emotion, or it could be an external stress, such as a stressful environment. And seven path really works to get rid of that internal stress, and when we get rid of that internal stress, then the body can use that energy, which it was using to both create that energy and then push that energy, which we would call emotion, like anger, fear, guilt, whatever, down, can use that energy for productive things such as healing. So I just wanted to get that in for people.
Great. And so how long should a practitioner practice before starting to teach seventh path?
As soon as you've become certified as a seven-path teacher, you're perfectly qualified to teach. Just go over your notes as far as what you specifically should do step by step in the teaching. Draw yourself an outline. There's outlines in the manual, and get started. You do not have to self-perfect. We should strive to be a model of what Seven Path can do. We should strive to be a model of what Five Path can do. But we do not have to have reached some form of enlightenment or perfection to begin to teach other people the path. For example, one does not have to have had a broken leg to certainly learn the techniques of setting a broken leg. You do not have to have had a bullet wound in order to become a physician and learn how to treat a bullet wound or a corpsman in the Navy and that kind of thing.
Great. And can we teach Seventh Path over the phone or via Skype?
Certainly. If you can talk to someone, you can teach Seventh Path. I prefer to have a visual with them, but theoretically, you could teach them over the phone. There's only one exception, and that is the ultimate recognition in the number one form, the first recognition in the ultimate form, I should say, is always taught in person. After that, they can be taught over Skype, through telephone, video conferencing, anything like that.
Great. Now that you mentioned the ultimate recognitions, how can people be trained on, how can they learn them, and how can they be trained to teach them?
Well, to learn them, I kind of mentioned before, you have to have gone properly learned and practiced all nine recognitions in the full form. That's also true of people who want to become teachers of the ultimate recognitions. In order to be teachers of the ultimate recognitions, you have to be a certified teacher of the short and full forms. So you just have to watch out, call our office, find out when classes are being offered. We don't really offer the ultimate forms very often. We probably only teach a handful of students two, maybe three times a year about the ultimates, and that's it. So you kind of have to be plugged in. Let us know that you're interested in learning the ultimate recognitions, either as a teacher or a practitioner, and we can get you set up. Now, ultimate, as a practitioner, you just need to find someone who is a certified teacher of the ultimate fifth and seventh degrees. The teacher of the ultimate fifth degree is someone who's certified to teach the first five ultimates, and the seven-path teacher of the ultimate ninth degree is able to teach all of the ultimates up through the ninth recognition. All right, I want to show our seven-path booklet as it exists today. Who knows? People could be viewing this 10 years, 20 years, 100 years from now. But this is our booklet as it appears today. It's nice, beautiful colors. It has this kind of plastic binding on the back. When someone learns Seven Path, on the very first page, there is kind of an agreement. And every single teacher, be it someone who's teaching in groups or teaching one-on-one or teaching it in a class or teaching as part of Five Path, must give every one of their students or clients this booklet, and they must fill out this front form, and in it they agree to not teach the recognitions to anyone unless they become a certified instructor, teacher themselves. Now, also in the back, we've recently added the CD, and the CD is just about 10 minutes long, and it just reminds them of the minimum information that they need to know on how to practice. I developed the CD because in doing five-path sessions and teaching seven-path at the same time, I find that I would teach seven-path what they're supposed to do, and then I'd take them, for example, to their first session, and that they would forget what they're supposed to do with seven-path. And so this is just a little 10-minute talk from me to your student or your client on how to do five-path. It's now included in the booklet right there. There's the front cover, there's the back, the inside of the front cover. And then also, when we teach Seven Path, we always want to use the back inside cover as our teaching area. If we're teaching individuals, we just write the stuff right in here. If we're teaching a class, we would write these items on the whiteboard or blackboard and fill it in. And then remember, in the back, there's also an area here where we write in the recognitions in the short form and the full form. That's going to be a tremendous help to your students and your clients to have that down, and they can just open the booklet, have it in their lap when they do the recognitions, and they'll have them to peek in case they forget, because a lot of people, even with the first recognition, just four words, it'll fall out of their head. Good. How are we doing?
We're doing good. We have a few more to get through, but we're running tight on time. So let's work through them. And so I am a teacher of the ultimate recognitions. And so if somebody comes to me, they already have 1 through 9 in the short and full form, and they want me to teach them the ultimate recognitions. Of course, I'm not going to give them the book. They would already have it. Is there anything that I need to have them fill out to send to you?
No. They've already been welcomed, and they've already agreed not to teach any of the recognitions to anyone until they become a teacher and properly certified to do so. Now, why are we so stringent about this? We want a document on file of every 7-path practitioner that they understand that they are not qualified to teach 7-path. And it's two main reasons. One is, they're not going to do a good job of it. And when they don't do a good job of it, then it hurts. It hurts the 7-path teachers. It hurts 7-path if it's not being taught well. And since they're not typically hypnotists, our clients, then they're not going to know how to hypnotize them to teach them 7-path properly, because 7-path, most of it is learned in the state of hypnosis. And that's just our way of trying to have some quality assurance and protect the integrity of 7-path.
And so if someone learns the ultimate recognitions, can they still practice the short forms?
Once someone has the ultimates, they really should stop doing the short or full forms. The ultimates are such a gift, and they're so much more powerful. Now, here's an interesting thing. Let's say you've got the first ultimate recognition. It is so much more powerful and so much more important than the other recognitions that you have. You will now spend 90% of your time in your 7-path practice, whatever period of time that is, doing the ultimate recognitions that you have. So let's say you're going to do a 20-minute session, and you've now got the first ultimate recognition. You'll spend 90% of that 20 minutes doing the first recognition in the ultimate form. And then just quickly afterwards, go through each of the other recognitions, kind of just tipping your hat to them out of respect, keeping them fresh in your mind. When you've got two ultimate recognitions, you'll spend 90% of your practice time doing those two ultimate recognitions, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, well, you just go through them very quickly to keep them fresh and tip your hat, show a little respect for those, and so on. So when you have ultimate recognitions, they become so much more powerful than the short and full forms, and so that's where you should spend your time.
Great. And so, of course, the ultimates are so mind-blowing in the best possible way, but what if you're working with someone that you know probably won't ever come back after one process, and they'll only be getting the short forms? Is it worth it?
I'm not following the questions. They're only going to get the short forms of the recognitions?
Yes. Is it worth still teaching them 7-path in the short form?
Right. You know what? If I could only teach the person one recognition, the first recognition in the short form, I would absolutely do it, because the short form of the first recognition will do everything that all the other forms will do. But it is the slowest possible way. Every time someone learns a new recognition, goes from just knowing 1 to knowing 2 and then knowing 3, or goes from knowing the short forms to the full forms or the ultimate forms, it drastically speeds up the process. So if I had someone that, maybe I'm getting through 5-path with them, and they're an exceptional individual, my sessions are long enough, and I only have 3 meetings with them, so I only give them the first 3 recognitions, and I'm never going to see them again, I would be perfectly happy with that, because I know those first 3 recognitions in the short form are going to be so powerful and so transformative in his or her life.
Yes, and so after we do wrap a five-path process with a client, how can we continue to give them recognitions in the future? What are the various ways?
For example, if we've been doing five-path and now they want to have more, we've finished the five-path process, then we can continue to meet with them in individual sessions and giving them the recognitions in the full forms and then all of the recognitions through 1 through 9 and then eventually the ultimate recognitions. We can also do that and have them go into a class where the class is going to cover recognitions that they don't have or forms that they don't have. We can also continue to do with them on the phone or through Skype with the exception of the first ultimate recognition. Anything else come to mind, Meredith?
No, I think that covers it. And so how would you work with a group then, maybe? So say you are a five-pather and you teach seventh path, you know, individually, one-on-one, and then you decide to create a class that's going to have a bunch of different clients that are maybe at different places. One client has 1 through 3 short, another client has 1 through 4 full, and, you know, you've got kind of a mishmash of different levels of practitioners. How would you lead a group or a class like that?
Yeah, I would never do a class like that, but I would encourage 7-Path teachers around the world to set up communities, and by that I mean where they can experience the community of 7-Path, and so once a week or every couple weeks or once a month, the people who are practicing 7-Path can get together and do it as a group, which can be very powerful. And in such a group, you may have the circumstance you were explaining, and that is one person might have only the first recognition in the short form, another person have 5 recognitions, another one have 9 recognitions in the full form, and a few of them even have the ultimate recognitions in any number of, the ultimate recognitions, any number of them. And so when we get together as community, we will have a practice time, and you simply will tell them that the period of the practice time is going to be, for example, 30 minutes. And then each individual is responsible to move themselves through the recognitions that they have at a rate where they can get through the number of recognitions they have in that period of time. Also, for the convenience of the 7-Path practitioners, you can set up mini individual sessions, maybe a half hour before the group get together or a half hour after the group get together, or full sessions if you have the time, whatever works in your schedule, and where they can come in and get additional recognitions or additional forms of the recognitions just before or just after the community get together. Good. I think we're just about out of time there, Meredith. I have 28 minutes.
We are. You want to go ahead and wrap it up?
Gosh, you know what I want to say is I want to say thanks for having this time to answer, to ask these questions, allow me to get this information out to the 7-Path teachers and the 7-Path practitioners community around the world. It's just a wonderful thing to know from Singapore to South Africa, all through Europe, the UK, Canada, Mexico, through South America. There's people doing 7-Path and it's changing lives. And so I'm really happy to get this out to you all so that you can get this information. And if everything goes right, we're going to have some more of these videos and answer some more of your questions. And I think this is just a great way to get the information out over the internet. All right, let me see what else. I think that's it. It was a pleasure to do this. I'm Cal Banyan. Ring my bell. Over and out. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.